Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Like it's been a while. It's been a good day. I was encouraged with what we've heard this morning. And this morning I woke up, I was just looking forward to coming and seeing everybody. I think it was last Sunday. A lot of you were all missing. And I look around and it's pretty full in here. It's good to see each one of you. So just want to again thank you all for coming. And trust that the Lord will have more from His Word for us. appreciated the thoughts that were shared this morning already. I was thinking of some of the thoughts were shared along the lines of what I was going to share. Josh touched on the gift of the Holy Spirit, talking about being walking in the Spirit there. And then Brian was talking about trusting God, being reliant on God, and or reliant on ourselves. And just thinking of a couple words I could put underneath here. For are we God reliant? I was thinking, are we spiritual minded? And over here, are we carnal-minded? Because the carnal mind won't trust God. The spiritual mind will trust God even in all the practical, physical, everyday needs. we can trust God in those things. And so that's actually what I was going to share on this morning. As you read a portion of Scripture in Romans 8 and share some of my meditations and the thoughts I've been thinking. it's just been a blessing to me just to consider being carnally minded or being spiritually minded in my own life. So it's a little bit of an overflow of what I've been meditating and the Lord's been speaking to me on. But I was thinking of this morning. I was thinking of coming here and. It was just a refreshing thought to me. And we sang a song, How Great Thou Art. We sang a song, Be Still and Know. And it was just all these songs were reflecting of a creator, of a God, of a Father. And it was just refreshing to me. And I was thinking the other morning we was talking about what God is. And so I'm just going to share a few of those thoughts before I start. I was thinking of God. He's our buckler. It says He's our shield. He's my salvation. What is the Lord to us? He's our King. He's our Lord. He's my joy. He's my peace. And He's my life. That's where I get life from. He's the essence of life. What are some thoughts that come to your mind when you think about God in this way? What is He to you? Anyone have a couple thoughts before we begin? He's our strength. Anything else? He's our anchor. Anchor, sorry. That one, they threw me for a loop. I was like, how's He our anchor? Okay, I got to think about this one. He's our anchor. That's right. Any other thoughts?
Our all.
Our all in all. Anything else? I know that's all. That one takes all of them in, but we're a little more specific than that. Any other thoughts? He's our hope. You ever find yourself in a situation and you're like, I don't know how we're going to get out of here. But you know, if we come back here and we rely on God, He's our hope. There is a way out of this mess. What else? Our strength when we feel like we can't go on. Anything else?
He is my way to follow.
My way to follow. That's right. That's life. Anything else?
He's a cleft.
He's our cleft in the rock. A place of safety. Anyone else want to share one or two more before we stop? He's our peace and joy. I was thinking of another one as He is our high tower. I guess they're just kind of sitting there reflecting what God is to us. It stirred an excitement in my heart that I'm a privileged child of the King. He's my Lord, my Savior. And it made me evaluate my own life. And so maybe this is where some of this stems from when we were talking about being spiritually minded or carnally minded. I was thinking of being my high tower. You know, in the days of old, a high tower was a safe place. They could go up there. A lot of these towers were on the city walls, and they were protected. Once you got in there and you shut that door, there wasn't just too awful much was going to get into you. You had the vantage point where you could shoot down anybody trying to come up to you. You could throw stones, whatever. You had the advantage. And it was also a shield for you. It was your safety. And yet you was allowed, it had opportunity for you to be offensive in being on the offense to the enemy. I was just rejoicing in the goodness of God that He is a safe place for me. He is my high tower. years ago, there was a city that couldn't be overthrown. I can't remember where it was. Lucas, you might remember the names. You're better at history than I am. I can't think of the country that was trying to overtake them. But they were trying to overtake the city, and this city was fortified. They tried everything they could to get in, and they couldn't get in. And it made me think of this high tower. It was a safe place. They had ample food, water. They had what they needed. And the enemy was running out of ideas and ammunition and so on to keep going. They were secure. But if we live with a spiritual mind, walking with God, we're secure. We're in a safe place. And the only thing that can come in is if we let it. You know, we have to let the enemy in. And that's exactly what happened to this place. The enemy decided to just pack up and leave, or so it appeared. And they left him a gift. They made him, I think, a big horse, I think it was. And they built this ginormous horse. And it was like, all right, I think it was considered a Trojan horse or something. It was a gift that this is, we can't get to you guys. We're letting this thing here. And they left. And this city, I mean, they were victors. There was nothing came in. They conquered. They were safe. And they were rejoicing. And, hey, they all left. And they went out and saw that, oh, they left us this gift. We'll take this thing in. We'll put it somewhere inside the city. And so they did. They took it in there and set it up. And when everybody went to sleep that night, that horse came alive. There were people in that horse. And there wasn't a lot of people in that horse. But there was enough to open up the city gates. And that army never left. They just went far enough away, and they crept back at night. And that city gates opened up, and the entire city was overthrown in a very short order. They were unprepared for what was coming. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing, except for me. I can open my heart and let the enemy in. I can separate myself. And that's exactly what that city did. And so, I want to just encourage us this morning to be spiritually minded. I'm going to read a portion of chapter 8 of Romans and just talk a bit about it. You know, here in Romans 8, I'm going to read 1 through 17. You know, the theme is the spirit of life. This theme is the spirit of life. Or it could also be, another theme through it is, carnality is death. And here we're offered to choose life, and we're presented with the fact that the carnal nature brings death. We're also presented with life, with the spirit of life and its fruit. It's life and peace. There's no more condemnation. Before we start, I want to read two definitions for us. I'll primarily be speaking on the carnal mind. Carnal, it's referring to earthly, bodily, temporal, unregenerate. The body opposed to the spirit. And then it says pertaining to the flesh. And then mind or minded here is to entertain, interest oneself in, or inclination. I have in mind I'm going to go somewhere. I have an inclination I'm going to do that. So being carnal minded is what we want to look at today. Someone also gave me this this definition. I got a variety of them put together from different people. Vanity, an expression of the flesh. The carnal mind will lift up itself. I, me, and I think Brian actually spoke on that this morning. About it's about me and what I did. And the carnal mind lifts up itself. It does in its speech. It does in conduct. Look at me. I'm cool. I'm with the in crowd. Or maybe just drawing attention to myself. It also does in other acts of conduct where maybe in our home we can see lack of submission. We see it in the world, workplace, in the church. I'm my own boss. I'm doing my own thing. It's all carnality. I was thinking also of being carnal-minded. The apostles, would you guys agree with me that at one point they were pretty carnal-minded? We can read of accounts where, you know, we're walking with the Lord and we wouldn't say this. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I mean, surely we wouldn't have that discussion here, right? It sounds like a very childish thing to talk about. But, you know, they were walking along with the Lord and the Lord knew what they were talking about. And they were talking about which one is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, or in his kingdom. And that's pretty carnal. You know, there was a lot of other instances where the apostles were carnal-minded. But when the Spirit of God came, things changed. Things changed. And they changed in their speech and the way they conducted themselves. You know, Peter, he was this very forward, vocal person. We don't really read of him being that brash anymore. He learned how to put himself under subjection and in subjection to Christ. So I'm going to read here in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but ye are but in the Spirit. And if so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quicken there means to make alive. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I'm just going to stop there. But it goes on to say later about the Spirit of God making us, helping us, helping our infirmities and helping us to pray. It makes intercession for us. And it searches our hearts. So I just want to encourage us today again that, you know, if we find ourselves being carnally minded, that the only outcome for that, the only answer to that at the end of that road is death. It's the Word of God. That's what it tells us here. And so I want to encourage us this morning that it's you and I's choice if we want to be carnally minded or spiritually minded. It's your decision. And so I want my encouragement is that today that we would choose life and peace. We would choose life and peace. And if we find there's areas in our lives where we are being carnal minded, that we would just repent and choose life and peace. Walk in the Spirit of God. Be sensitive to it. I was thinking of how how carnality will kill. That's actually what I gave this title is carnality will kill. And I was thinking of that, how that the more we are carnal minded, the more you are carnal minded, the more the Spirit of God gets pushed back. Because they both can't live there. There's not room for both of them to be ruling in our hearts. And so the more carnal-minded I am, the more the Spirit of God has to back out because they can't walk together in that way. And the Spirit of God gets pushed out more and more. And you know, it doesn't always happen overnight that all of a sudden we find ourselves really not connected to the Lord. We're not claiming the scriptures where we're the branch and he's the vine. We're not connected to that thing anymore. And we know it's not flowing. But usually that don't just happen. Usually it don't just happen. It's a little withdrawal here, a little bit here, a little compromise and carnality there, a little bit over here, just a little at a time. And what it does, it just kills us and kills us. Keep squashing the Spirit of God out more and more. And pretty soon, I'm just carnal-minded. Pretty soon, there is no life. There is no life. I'm not reliant on God. I'm carnal-minded. And you know, being as we're all people, I would almost venture to say that each one of us knows what it feels like to be carnal minded. There's an emptiness. You know, you all know me probably better than I think you know me. But I enjoy sitting around, visiting, having some good laughs. I enjoy that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, I have a weakness on the funny side probably. And I know when I cross that line, I know when I cross that threshold, there's this feeling of emptiness. Oh, it becomes a weight to me. It's carnality is what it is. It went from just some pure fellowship to all of a sudden, oh, it's too far. It's too far. The Lord doesn't bless that, but he allows us to fill that empty weight. Empty weight. Emptiness can be a weight to us. Imagine that. But he allows us to feel that. To draw us back. And I'm sure that I would assume that a lot of you probably can understand what I'm talking about. Maybe you're somewhere and it's all you did. It was just carnal conversation for several nights in a row and the Lord really don't get mentioned. And you just kind of feel, ugh. And you're not blaming anybody, but you just don't feel like you're really connected. And I know we don't go on feelings. That's not what drives us. But the Spirit of God is prompting us. There's times where we get that little check that, Yep, that's it. But what happens is when we keep feeding the carnal nature, that check keeps getting more dull. We don't hear it. And so we feel empty. And it's a big killer. Carnality is a killer. Pretty soon you don't feel like reading. You don't feel like praying. Spiritual engagement, such as conversations, church involvement, those things, Bible studies, those things just become optional. Make it when it works. Tired tonight. I know those feelings. I still work for a living. I know what it's like to come home on a Wednesday and you just had a day that you're like, can't wait till it ends. It just seemed overwhelming. And it's prayer meeting tonight. There'll be a lot of other people there. I don't think they'll miss me. But you know, that's my carnal reasoning. That's my carnal reasoning. I'm always filled when I come and participate. It's a silent killer. Carnality is a silent killer. It was about a week ago, or time flies, so I'm not sure. I think it might have been about a week ago. We had a gas line in town as we was excavating. That's not something I recommend anybody try. But that gas line we hit, and it's just a hissing away. And all of a sudden, the excavator cab, the skid loader is sitting way over there. And somebody went to go move it. And it's probably the front door to here away from us. And whichever one of the guys jumped in to move it, he said, oh man, this thing stinks awful. It really stunk. You hit a natural gas or a gas line there, it really stinks. But then all of a sudden, you don't really think of it no more. You might get a little faint headache, not feel the best, but you don't really think of the smell anymore. Until you jump in something again, when you hit a little fresh air and jump in something, you smell it again. But I was just thinking how natural gas is, it's a silent killer. Most people, if they have a gas leak, they'll die in their sleep in their homes. But carnality is the same way. It starts to creep in, and it's, in a sense, it's silent because we're busy doing our thing, having our fun, and whatever it is, being carnal, and silently, the Spirit of God needs to just leave. It's squashing out life. You know, evil communications corrupt good morals. Maybe some of our carnality starts with, you know, there's a big push for sports, a big push for wealth, just to be funny, to be cool. Those things are really, really strong right now in society. We face them here in our own families. But all those things, outside of their place, is just carnal-minded. Playing a game together here, it's fine. But you know what? There's some things in life that I watch closely in my life. Because too much of something that was big in my life, I have a tendency to go too far. And then I come back with this emptiness. Oh. And I just want to just go home, be by myself. It don't feel good. It's too much for me. Carnality kills. The Spirit of God cannot dwell where carnality is. You'll find it leaving your life if you keep feeding the carnal nature. Your friends will change. Instead of having those friends that, you know, were concerned about you and you were concerned about them, you were talking about the Word of God and it was good fellowship, it was a good environment, your friends will change. You'll most likely go back to the old ways, your old habits. You'll be hanging out with the carnal ones. Instead of being there to offer them life, you become dead just like they are. And God wants us to be spiritually alive, to offer life to those around us. When we are carnal, we often are finding fulfillment in earthly things. instead of trying to find our fulfillment in Christ Jesus, filling ourselves with Him, His Spirit, His Word. Out of our bellies are flowing rivers of living water. We're looking at carnal things, and those things are entertaining us. Those things got our minds captivated, and those things are what kills us spiritually. And we, I know things, you can go too far sometimes where we're trying to live a practical family life, and you know, you look at your children, you're just so carnal. You know, you need to grow up. That's going a bit too far. We're to teach and be examples, and we need to be careful with how we think when it comes to the family life. But there is that element of carnality that it'll kill us. You know, we look for fulfillment in life. There are things in life that we feel satisfaction in, and they're not wrong. So most of us men in here, for sure, we go out and work in some trade or another. There's fulfillment in doing a job well done. There's fulfillment when that job is done. That customer is happy. There's a sense of fulfillment there. And there's nothing wrong with that. In its right place. There's nothing wrong with that. And you ladies, as far as cleaning the house, doing cooking, sewing, whatever, and you get a project accomplished, there's a satisfaction there. But to go after life and make wealth my fulfillment, make how many jobs can I do this year, how much can I build my bank, all those things, that's getting satisfaction in the wrong way of life. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, the carnal mind, it's against God. It's at enmity against God. And it's not subject to the law of God. Now, I was just thinking of an example of the carnal mind is... One biblical example I thought of was Peter at the Mount of Transfiguration. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. The carnal mind doesn't think in a spiritual way. It doesn't see things through the same lens as God does. And I was just thinking of Peter. I mean, he had this great aspiration. He's like, we're standing here. And this transfiguration happens. There's three men here. Wow. And Peter, the first thing he says, Lord, let's make three shrines. One for you, one for him, and one for him. I mean, that's honorable, right? Do it in memory of all three of you. What's wrong with that? But you see, he's not thinking like God was thinking. God already knew that he could do that. And he already knew also that most likely, somewhere down along the line, somebody's going to worship them and not me. They're going to get worshiped and not me. It's just a thought that I had that you know, there's only one God. Carnal mind goes against God. And it can't please God. Says that they are that are in the flesh cannot please God. To me, this is very sobering as I was pondering who God is and who He is, or what He is to me, and then to go through life and allow myself to be carnally minded, knowing that it's gonna kill me. It's gonna bring death to me. Another thing that I just want to encourage us to remember to seek life and peace. We find that in Christ Jesus. Another thing that's a killer, the carnal mind is compromise. Compromise is carnal. It kills you spiritually. I was just thinking of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 3 there, where it talks about how we're building. 10 through 15, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And I was just thinking of those of us that have families, taking heed how we build. You know, as I reflect on my own family, and I think of a vibrant walk with the Lord, having a vision, and as I was just reflecting back over the years, there's areas that I compromised. Maybe I'm just too strict in this area. Maybe I'm just, everybody else is. And so there's areas of compromise. When we start down that road and we continue on that road, our work is going to be burned up. And we're going to suffer great loss. We're going to suffer great loss. Making choices in life that are less than ideal because of pressures from others. You know, we don't want to be different. Compromise. You know what's right, and yet maybe just this one time. It's carnality. It's going to kill us. Now, there's carnality in our speech, our conduct. You know, as years have gone on, when I first got converted, there was a large group of us that did. Our speech was cleaned up. We were careful on the words that we said. We chose them carefully because we served a holy God, and we looked at Him that way. But I just marveled as years gone by, next generation's coming up, I marveled how their speech has changed. Even mine has changed. And I just marvel at that, how a little compromise, you know. And I was thinking of some things that we hear. I don't know if we think that somehow we can sanctify unholy words by just pronouncing them differently, slaying words. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Instead of cursing, there's slang words get used. We're compromising. We're compromising a holy life. We compromise in our conduct. Pride is a carnal mind. A look at me. And let's just remember that a carnal mind is enmity against God. He don't embrace that. God doesn't embrace that. It's not that you're going to be in bad standings with the church or bad standings with your family. No, God doesn't embrace that. It puts you outside the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't embrace it. A carnal mind kills. God, He resists the proud. He doesn't even let you come near Him. No. Compromise. Ashamed of the gospel. Afraid to be different for the sake of the gospel. You ever been faced with that? I've been faced with that. Have I always been successful? I don't think I have. But God doesn't want us to compromise and be ashamed of the gospel. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, in that day, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So these are just a sobering warning for us. A few others that I wrote down. Sports. We got to be careful in what level we participate because it will kill. It brings an emptiness. Hobbies. Endless hours. Instead of a time to refresh your mind and body. You know, there's some things we can do. Take a walk. Go. Maybe some of you like tinkering on something. It's refreshing to you. Those things are fine. It's good. Jesus says, come apart with me and rest a while. But you know, when those things all of a sudden just consume us, we're not really resting our minds. We're not trying to refresh ourselves in the Lord, but they consume us. They'll kill us. Work, being carnally minded, could be allowing ourselves to be too busy. And we had some discussion last night around campfire, and that was one thing about being too busy. No time for personal devotion time, that personal walk with God. Too busy. You know, for most of us, we control that time. A large degree, most of us in here control that time, how much you put in. Most of us work for people that would be flexible enough to give you more time if you needed it. But sometimes I find that it's a big push in today's society for wealth. I mean, if you're not out there and rolling in these dollars and you're not investing here and you're not doing that and this, you just ain't got it. And I'm not talking just here. I'm talking in society around us in our community. There's this big push. You fellowship closely with some of those, you'll find yourself having the same drive. Why? Because the Bible is true. Communication, close communication will have an influence. Evil communication corrupts good morals. So let's remember that we need to seek after life and peace, because we're passing through here. You know, our work can be farming, construction, you name it. They can all consume us. And you know, and I don't want to encourage us to be lazy. I'm not encouraging that either. Paul had, I think it was the Thessalonians, he had to tell them to go get a job, go work, feed your family. He said, I think somewhere he says we're worse than an infidel if we don't take care of our families. He said, so working is not carnal. It's not all carnal. Providing for our family and our needs, it's very spiritual. We're called to do that. It's very scriptural. You don't work, you don't eat. We're called to not be slothful in all the things that we do. And everything that we're doing, we're called to do it as if we're doing it for Christ. You know, if we're doing shady business deals, we're cutting corners. You know, cutting corners isn't a savings. It's usually giving somebody less value. He's getting less quality. Those things will cause us to die spiritually. Because when we live that way, it affects us spiritually. It's carnal. And the more carnal we are, the less of the Spirit of God can be in our lives. It can't direct us because we don't let it. More dull we become to the Spirit of God. And you know, we're called to mortify the deeds of the body. He says, if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to live. There's life. The Spirit of God is here to help us live. There's a few other ways I thought of in being carnal. And I've watched, you know, there's things that in my past, because of my past, I watch closely. And one is sports, another is music, and also I don't like to be on work sites or areas where men are just using vulgar language, because those things were a big part of my life. And so I watch those things closely so I don't go back to that. Find myself being very carnal. When we are disrespectful to God's word, that's carnal-mindedness. There's areas that can hit home for us here. Forsaking the assembling together of yourselves tells us we shouldn't do that. So much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, as life goes on and you can go out there and make money and have a good living and all these things, We tend to lose sight We tend to lose sight of our eternal goal. Instead of passing through, we're either got it in neutral and we're coasting, getting as much as we can, or we just plumb park it. And we're just out getting all that we can. We're supposed to be living as strangers and pilgrims in this land. Carnality kills. Being greedy. You know, we can go through our business deals and being greedy. We sanctify that word. We call it being frugal, being diligent. Instead of just, I'm greedy. Greed kills. Here's one that I thought another thing that's carnal is being a glutton. You know, we live in a society, we love our fellowship. And there's times we overeat. That's not right. That's sin. But to make that a life pattern, we just keep doing it and doing it, it's carnality. That'll kill us too. Because we need to see it as seriousness as the sin of drunkenness. It's sin. And be careful that you don't judge people just because maybe they're bigger than you. I know of people that are a lot skinnier than I am, and they can eat twice as much as I do. I know they're not that hungry, but they can still eat twice as much as I do, and it never shows up on them. I don't have that problem. If I eat like that, it all shows up. But be careful that we don't judge people just because someone is different than you are. But being a glutton, it's sin. We're called to be a holy people unto the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Having the attitude of I just don't care too much. Living carelessly, that's carnal. That's carnal. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. All across your life, speech, conduct, everything you're doing, all manner of conversation, be holy. It's a high calling for us. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. When we're disrespectful to the church, we esteem it lightly. It's unholy. Being outside the vision of the church is very carnal. I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 1:10 tells us, Paul is telling the Corinthians how to live here. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm begging you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should be our cry for each one, for us here, that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. It speaks of unity, harmony, peace, rest, and joy. It's very carnal when we're fighting and there's divisions. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? These men were sitting here debating, I'm following Apollos, I'm following Paul, I'm following Christ. Paul says, are you not carnal? You're still on milk. You need to grow up. And you know, if we as a congregation can't come to a place of peace and unity and harmony, it speaks of a carnality amongst us. If there's divisions and strife, envying. The heart of God is that we're perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. speaking the same things for the glory of God. You know, I was as I evaluated my own life, it was just good for me to search my heart and ask the God to search my heart with His Spirit and see if there be carnality in me. And there's areas where He put His finger on. I was thinking of not having the same. We're called to have the same mind and judgment. You know, we as dads, we as parents, we can say, "Yes, that's what I want. Yes, I'm on board. That's where I'm at. Yes." But you know, let's go farther and evaluate. Let's just not be claiming to be spiritually minded. And yes, we're here. We're on board, walking together with Christ. But let's evaluate our families. You know, if we say we have the same vision and the outcome in our family is different, then that's actually the truth of the matter. We need to evaluate our families in truth. But let's guard against pride, because if I have an issue in my life, if I'm needing direction for training my children, giving direction to them, it's pride when I don't go ask somebody that has been there. Ask for some help. I've done that. You know, every phase in life for us as parents, you have children, every phase in life is a new one. You know, you start out with a little one, and now you have them running around talking to you. And later you have them doing school. And later they become teenagers. And then you have one get married. And then there's another phase if grandchildren come. On and on it goes. As a father, I've never been down that road. Now, we've had the baby experience. We've had the schooling experience. We've had the teenager experience. And now we've had one get married. But that was a new thing for us. And if something's not turning out right, it's foolish. It's very carnal for me to not go to, "Brother, you've been down this road. Could you give me some pointers on how do I see this? How do I help?" It humbles me, yeah, to go ask for help. But I have a high price on my family. If I have an eternal vision, then I need to humble myself. And furthermore, that brother never looked down at me and said, "I can't believe you ain't got that together. Just can't believe you." It's rewarding. It's rewarding to us. Let's have a vision. Let's evaluate our families. If the outcome's not what we're wanting, what we're professing it to be, then let's sit down and think, why is it different? What am I doing wrong? Maybe get some advice from others. Don't take the other road and do nothing and say it's okay, because it's not going to be a blessing to your children. It would never have blessed my children. Another thing that is where carnality kills is when the Spirit of God prompts you and you say no. Or you just say like, "I'm not too sure." You just keep putting it off. Not taking heed to the Spirit of God. And then it becomes really dull in your mind. You get an insensitive, you become very insensitive to the Spirit. We start dying. John tells us to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so I want to encourage us that, you know, there's many areas of carnality. I only touched a few. It's carnal for us to leave the way of salvation, being reliant upon a holy God, salvation through Jesus Christ, His Son. It's carnal for us to find it any other way. Paul tells the Galatians, "Who has bewitched you that you have gone back to the law thinking that you're going to be made righteous?" That's carnal. That's carnal. Thinking that things that I do with my hands is not going to make God happy. That's carnal. But rather, He wants us to look at Him and what He's done for us through giving His Son Jesus Christ, that we may live and then pouring our lives out for Him. Walking in the Spirit. Friends, you'll do so many things. And there's things, if you live that way, you'll do so many things that'll way outdo the works that somebody tries to do to earn salvation. Jesus says, these people come and they said, we visited these people, we went here, we did this. And then He says, you know, but these people, they said, when did we do that? I recall that. When we're actively engaged in the kingdom of God and we're busy, we actually don't remember every kind deed, every kind word that we've done. I don't. I can testify. Somebody came and told me this the other day of something that I said. And it was years ago. And I'm like, don't remember it. Don't remember it. I say that because as we're engaged in the kingdom of God, we'll be full of good works. We'll be full of the Spirit of God. I think it says here in Romans 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we're led by the Spirit of God, then it will lead us to be actively engaged in our everyday life, whether it's with a client, whether it's with your child, maybe with your wife, somebody you just meet on the street, grocery shopping. We'll be engaged. We'll be engaged. The character of our lives will be Christ. It'll be Christ Jesus coming out. And people can see it. And so I want to encourage us to not turn to anything else but Christ. You know, we can, as people, we are good at deceiving people. Do you agree? We're masterminds at deceiving people. There's people scamming all the time. They'll call you and they're trying to deceive you into giving your money or whatever. But bring it down to home. We're good at deceiving people, making people think something. And I just had to think of this this account. There's a you know, we can have sin in our lives. We can be part of the church and everything can look good. We can be on time every morning. We can hit the prayer room every morning. We can be at every church function. All these things can all look good. And they're not wrong. It's great. But there's sin in our hearts. And you know it. And God knows it. But nobody else does. I had to think of this account. This was from a book of testimonies of horrible deaths. People that died not being ready to meet God. Died with sin in their hearts. And this account was this man. He went to church all his life. He was almost every Sunday he was first to church. He unlocked the doors. He did a lot of good things for the church. And he was always very, very active. And everybody thought he was a great brother in the church. And he was. He had sin in his life and nobody knew it. But everything outside appeared fine. And it was sobering to me. I'm just shortening the story up. It came time for him to die. I forget what happened in his life, but he was dying. And he died a horrible death. The pain, the description of what he went through. I mean, he couldn't find repentance. But he did tell them of a sin that he had. And all these years, and he did it for a lot of years. And all these years, everybody thought he was just a faithful brother. And the reason I share this is because carnality kills. It's carnal to chase after sin. It's carnal to hide sin and put a show on that we're just fine. Friends, let's seek life and peace. Spirit-filled lives. Because everything that you work for here, carnally, it's not going with you. It's not going with you. You can't take anything. You know, another thing in carnality, the things that slide slow. We stop walking in obedience to the Word of God. Just a little here and a little there. Just a little compromise. And this here was shared to me by an older brother in another congregation in Pennsylvania. He's a minister there, or a deacon. And he was just sharing his observation over a period of, I don't know, I think it was 30 years or something like that. And he just said how, he said, I just marvel that when we start being disobedient to the Word of God, what all starts coming down the pike. And he was referring to a specific church that we were at. He said how when it's disobedience to God's Word, modesty goes, a loose and careless attitude comes, or maybe that comes first. And then he said, in 5 to 10 years, you'll see men dressed with less clothes, tight clothes, women, the covering is gone, less clothes, or just immodest in other ways. And he said, it's all because they stepped outside of the umbrella of God, not obedient to the Word of God, not walking in the Spirit of God. And another thing he said was, and the men start carrying weapons for self-defense. I thought that was interesting too. And I specifically know of two churches that in my time that I've witnessed as being a very sound church that people were wanting to go and be part of because it was a blessing. And something happened down the road. One of these churches, I think it was a young couple that was shot in their home. And just the there's a lot of stories behind all that. But as you walk in compromise and disobedience to the Word of God in small areas, down the road, you're going to be somewhere else. Down the road, you'll be at a place and you'll wonder, how did I get here? I'm not going to tell you the two churches I was referring to. They're not in this area. And that wasn't my point. My point was, in my short Christian life, I've witnessed that. And this man was talking about a 30-year span. And he says, you can just count on it. You see these markers? He said, give them 5 to 10 years, and you're going to see this. And you'll see this. To me, that was sobering. And he said, and one thing that you can always be sure of, always. He said, they're way more spiritual than they ever were. It's all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord they'll talk about. But there's, faith is an action word. It's a word. It needs, faith needs to be lived out. And we see people's faith by their lives. We can see that. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so I say that, you know, carefully for us to just consider. You know, we may say, oh, that's a long ways out. That's way far from us. But in my short Christian life, I've seen two churches take that avenue. And both of these churches, I know of people personally that have been wanting to go to them because they were a blessing. They were a blessing. They wanted to go and plug in there and experience the fellowship and the blessing with them. So I just say, let's be careful. Let's not be high-minded. Let's not be carnally minded. But let's be spiritually minded. There's life and peace there. But if we don't guard that, we're the only ones that can change that. We're the only ones that can let people in this high tower to destroy us. A silent killer. Carnality. We are lulled to sleep. A few things that do it is just lightheartedness, making light of God's holy word, his principles. We have little to no spiritual fellowship. It's a lot about foolishness, all games, work, laughter, hobbies, These are all things we can get caught up in. We can get caught up in. There's, you know, this thing of lack of fellowship. I was just thinking of that. Yesterday I was at a wedding, and it just struck me that somebody asked me how I was doing. I said, so what do you want to know about, what about me do you want to know how I am? Like what area? He's like, well, I don't know. I said, well, did you really want to know, or did you just ask because it was the right thing to say at the time? He kind of chuckled and was like, I guess it was just the right thing to say. But no, I'm now I am concerned about how are you doing. But I just had to think of it is in our speech, in our attitudes, when you ask somebody how you're doing, mean it. You know, mean it. And I don't condemn that brother. I mean, he was doing what a lot of us probably have done and do. You know, on our Sunday fellowship, used to be, I remember days we could sit around just fellowship around the word and encourage one another. But it's a lot about work these days. It's a lot about work and a lot about the fun things we do. And those conversations aren't wrong. I'm just encouraging us to be careful, because it probably hit me the hardest when I was trying to encourage my boys one day to you know, just instead of sitting around laughing and talking about it, carnal things all day, just, why don't you guys talk about the word? I said, come, they're like, well, I don't know. So we'll come talk to some of the dads, just stand up there and listen to some of the dads talk. And I take it as a grain of salt. And in a large degree, he was right. He said, well, they just talk about carnal things on a different level. And I thought, wow. And it's not, you know, take it as a grain of salt. Take it as a word of just to consider. Because sometimes our conversations can be very, very empty. And we find ourselves just empty. So my encouragement is, let's not live carnal lives while we're empty. But let's inspire one another, be inspired by the Spirit of God. And so I want to leave you with those thoughts. I wonder what would change if we would repent from our carnal ways, whatever they are, for you and for me. I wonder what in my life would change. What in your life would change? Do you think we could notice a difference? You answer that in your own heart. Do you think the people around you will notice the difference if you change the carnal ways in your life? I wonder if the attitudes would change. The attitudes that we display, I wonder if they would change. I wonder if the lack of reverence for God, His principles, His word, His church, I wonder, would that change? What is displayed, I wonder, would it reflect holiness unto the Lord if we change? Friends, let's walk in the Spirit and live. And if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so I want to encourage you with that, friends. Just don't take it as, oh, he was just poking at me. No, it was a good word for me. It was a good word for me. I found areas in my life. But you know what's more sobering? Is that God says in His word, carnality is enmity with me. Carnality is death. And so take it from the Word of God. If we're going to be carnal-minded, just expect to die. It's an eternal death. And so let's just be serious about our own personal lives. Lord bless you all.